The title for this talk is Stages of Growth, Midlife, and Old Age. Around the age of 28, there is frequently a real crisis in life where a person has to come to a decision to forego the joys, the pleasures, the dream world of youth, and to take one's place seriously in the whole battle of life. This particular decision can come earlier in life, but it is not good for our growth in holiness and wholeness if we delay such a decision beyond the age of 28 or 30. This middle period of life from 28 to 56 is called adulthood. It should be the time in life when we experience the most growth in character and in truth. Unfortunately, many people imagine that education and character development ends with youth. And so, for them, this period of 28 to 56 is almost exclusively devoted to activity. If activity becomes the almost exclusive interest during this middle period of life, not only does psychological growth and wholeness come to a halt, but a process of regression results, which takes one back to a more childish and less mature stage of life. During the period of youth, one should concentrate on the development of one's conscious faculties, the ego, the mind, the will, the senses, the feelings, the memory, the imagination. During the middle period, we are called by God to develop our unconscious faculties, the inner depths of our being, which are centered in what is called the self or the person. If the tasks of youth have been successfully accomplished, one is now ready, around the age of 28, to tackle the even more important task of life by bringing to the level of consciousness the many undeveloped talents, resources, and energies that have until now remained asleep in our unconscious inner being. The most important of these unconscious energies that need to be developed are those of love. These reserves of love power have four specific objectives. First of all, a proper love of self, which Jung calls authenticity. Secondly, a proper love and respect for God as our supreme being, as our Lord and Creator. Jung gives the term significance to this second task of adulthood. This is when we discern our particular significance, our special place in God's plan. And thirdly, a proper love and respect for other individual human beings. This is accomplished, according to Jung, when we become transparent and open to others, willing to run the risk of being rejected when we reach out in love to one another. And finally, the fourth task concerns community relationships, what Jung calls the I-we encounters of love. And the name that he gives to the successful accomplishment of this fourth task of love is solidarity, a sense of oneness and unity in the various communities and the groups of people to whom we belong. All four of these tasks of love should occupy our attention throughout the 28 years of life between 28 and 56. However, many people find that it helps them if they will concentrate for perhaps a period of 7 years upon each of these tasks, while not neglecting the other three tasks. And so, for example, from the age of 28 to 35, it's recommended that we especially try to accomplish this authenticity of the ego, a proper relationship with ourself, a proper love and respect and knowledge of ourselves, so that we have a good working relationship between our conscious self and our unconscious self. Such a task would require at least 7 years to accomplish at least a certain amount of proficiency in it. And then from the age of 35 to 42, we might concentrate on developing our proper relationship with God and discovering our particular significance in God's plan. Where do we fit into that overall plan of the kingdom of God? What is our particular vocation or ministry? How are we significant and important in God's overall plan? And then thirdly, during the middle years, say 42 to 49, we could concentrate on bringing to a mature development our individual relationships of love with other human beings, like between a husband and a wife, between friends. Those I-thou relationships are encounters of love. Even though we've had those encounters all of our life, somewhere in middle life, they need to be brought to a peak of wholeness and maturity. And finally, the last 7 years, from 49 to 56, we could concentrate on bringing to a high development of maturity and wholeness all of our community relationships, all of those I-we encounters of love with the different groups of people to which we belong. Let us now take each of these four tasks and look at them a little more deeply. The first task of authenticity is a task of self-discovery, of self-knowledge, learning to accept our true nature, and to become the kind of person that we were meant to be, to stand solidly in our own truth. As Shakespeare says in Hamlet, to thy own self be true. Or as Jesus states in the 8th chapter of John, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is now the time to develop those sides of our personality that previously have remained unconscious. This is especially a time to distinguish our real self from those roles that we are called upon to play in society, where there is a danger that we identify too closely with those roles and develop what Jung calls a persona, a mask, where we are living not according to our authentic self, but according to the way that society, that the culture in which we live, expects us to live. And in that sense, we deny our true self. The word education means to lead out the potential talents and energies that are still undeveloped. And so those archetypes that Jung talks about of the unconscious, those potential sources of energy that are waiting to be brought up into consciousness. This will be accomplished if we can keep a good balance between the ego, which is the center of our conscious life, and the self, or the person, that is the center of our unconscious life. And this will prevent us from becoming a phony, from becoming a hypocrite or a Pharisee, and help us to establish authenticity in our life. If we succeed in standing solidly in our own truth, we will be open to all kinds of new insights and inspirations and intuitions that will enable us to develop every side and every aspect of our person that God has meant us to be. As a result of all of this, if we are successful in the task of authenticity, we will experience a tremendous new zest for life, an increase of both physical and spiritual energy, a new enthusiasm for life. We will become much more creative, much less fearful of life, and much more optimistic regarding ourselves and the future. The second task of adulthood is to discover our significance before God. It is only as mature adults that we attain the necessary freedom to have sufficient control over our life and our whole inner being so that we can take a hold of this life that God has given us and make that necessary leap of faith by which we commit ourselves totally into the hands of God. This is called an adult religious conversion. For many people today, this adult leap of faith occurs only after many years of doubt and struggle with faith. Many young people today abandon the faith of their childhood because it no longer is able to resolve for them the problems that face them in today's world. But the hope is that perhaps after 20 years or more of struggles with these problems of faith, that a person somewhere around the age of 35 comes to that moment of decision, whereas one is willing to choose the particular option of believing in a personal God, and as a Christian, believing that that personal God came on earth, became one of us, and lived and died and rose from the dead. We call this adult religious conversion, to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Carl Jung states that of the thousands of patients who came to him to be healed and to be helped from their neuroses and mental illnesses, that of those that were over the age of 35, that every one of them had as their primary problem their failure to have accomplished this second task of adulthood, namely to have discovered their significance in God's plan, to have entered into this leap of faith in a supreme being. If, therefore, we want to be a whole, mature person, it is practically a matter of life and death that we be able, somewhere around the age of 35 to 40, take a hold of our life and our whole being and make a gift of love of this self to Almighty God. The third task of adulthood is to attain a transparency of personality that gives us the courage to be open to entering an encounter of love with other individual human beings, both male and female. Having learned to entrust ourselves to God, we are now ready to confide in another human being. These adult relationships of love are quite different from the relationships of love that we had as children or adolescents or even as young adults. In an adult relationship of love, we make a total gift of ourselves to another human being. In that sense, it's somewhat similar to this gift of self to God that we make in an adult religious conversion. If we are unwilling to make such adult encounters of love with other individual human beings, our progress in maturity usually comes to a stop. There are, of course, some very real risks involved When we make ourselves open and transparent in love to another human being. But unless we are willing to take these risks, we become prematurely old and barren, hard and brittle, sour and bitter towards life. We lose hope and withdraw into a shell, cut ourselves off from other human beings. Our vital energies of love come to a halt. Idiosyncrasies that used to be merely humorous now grow like cancer until they become a source of irritation to others. A person experiences a greater conservatism and fear of change, with a general negativism, pessimism, resentment towards the whole world. Such a person often spends time criticizing and blaming others when the real culprit is one's own refusal to give oneself in love to others. On the other hand, the adult who is able to experience this transparency of unselfish love to others now finds a beautiful growth in character. Many new powers never previously experienced become a part of one's character. Tenderness and sympathy for those who are in need, a willingness to adjust oneself to others and to new situations, an openness to many worthwhile values, whether it be God or truth or beauty, religion, and so on. Instead of discouragement, optimism and hope now fills one. Enthusiasm, creativity, and a burst of new psychic and physical energy is experienced. We might say that by means of this third task of transparency, one discovers that fountain of youth for which the whole human race has been searching from time immemorial. If we have been successful in attaining a transparency of love towards others, we are now in a good position to accomplish the fourth task of adulthood, namely good community relationships, the I-we encounters of love. By the age of 50 or 56, it would be hoped that we have become proficient in working as a team with others, in seeing other people as our partners, working for the same goals rather than rivals or competitors. We are able to accomplish so much more when we work together with others than when we try to do it alone. So we must recognize our equality before God, that all of us are dependent, first of all, on God's help and then on the help of one another. This sense of solidarity with the rest of our fellow human beings comes about, therefore, especially whenever we have an experience where we realize that we cannot be successful unless we have help from others, or whenever we see how others need our help in order for them to be successful. The truly mature person is willing to share with the whole community all of one's riches, all of one's experiences and knowledge. The hallmark of this fourth task of solidarity is the willingness to entrust all of one's dreams and hopes to other people, and so to pass on to the new tasks that face one in mature adulthood. The final stage of our life on earth extends from about the age of 56 until death, and we can speak of this as mature adulthood. Unfortunately, many people look upon this third period of our life on earth as the declining years. If emphasis is placed on worldly activities and the production of visible results, then this final period of life will never be appreciated. Whereas, if one is willing to look at the whole of life on earth as a preparation for life in a higher transcendental dimension of reality, namely, life after death with God in eternity, then this final period of mature adulthood becomes the most important period of our life. In that sense, everything we did in youth, between birth and 28, and in adulthood, between the ages of 28 and 56, is so much preparation for what we now hope to accomplish in these last years of our life on earth before death. To be successful in accomplishing the tasks of mature adulthood, we must convince ourselves that being is more important than doing. And this being is to give our life totally over to love, to make love the center and the be-all of life. This is the way of spiritual childhood, as is described by St. Thérèse of Lisieux. We become so transparent with love that the inner light of grace and peace shines forth from our personality upon everyone we meet. Anyone who comes into contact with us begins to pick up these vibrations of love that go forth from us, and they begin to experience some of the same peace of mind and heart and soul that fills our life. There are still four additional tasks that need to be accomplished between the age of 56 and death. The first of these is growth in contemplation. Contemplation is a higher form of prayer beyond meditation. It is sometimes called the prayer of quiet or mystical prayer. It is learning just to be still and quiet in God's presence. As one old man described it, I just look at God and God looks at me. It is knowing for certain that God loves us, and then being content to rest in this assurance of God's love. St. Teresa of Avila, in her book Interior Castle, describes this particular state of soul, especially in what are called the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th mansions of the interior castle. The second task of mature adulthood is to pass successfully the crisis of retirement, that moment in our life when we have to lay down the tools of our life's work and pass on to others the responsibilities that we have been carrying out for the past 30, 40, or more years of our life. To face retirement successfully without despair or bitterness, we need to prepare ourselves for this crisis for many years previously. And we do this by developing some hobby, some other talent that will enable us to carry out a new form of ministry during retirement that is in keeping with the limitations of old age. Those people who do a good job of mature adulthood are people that are able now to do something that they have been wanting to do for years and years, but their full-time job prevented it. And now they're able, they have the freedom, they have the time to give to this hobby or to this new ministry the necessary energy. And as a result, they experience a satisfaction and a fulfillment that is perhaps even greater than anything they experienced previously in life. This is the time to pass on to the next generation the insights, the wisdom, the experience, that we have gained over the years of our life. In this way, our contribution to the human race will live on after we are long since dead. The third task of mature adulthood is to develop a good appreciation of leisure and to experience a deep peace and trust in God as a result of this. This then is the time to make use of the extra hours of leisure that we now have in old age to grow in intimacy with God and thus to prepare ourselves to be content and to be happy to live with God for all eternity in heaven. Saint Teresa of Avila insisted that all the way to heaven should be heaven too. And this is the task that we especially hope to accomplish by the right use of that extra leisure that God in His goodness and wisdom gives to a person after retirement. The fourth task of mature adulthood is preparation for death. This means facing up to the reality of our own death, reconciling ourselves to the fact that we are going to die in the not too distant future, helping us to overcome any fears of death that may still linger in the depths of our unconscious, trying to be so detached that we are willing either to live or to die as God sees fit to dispose of us. One of the very best ways to accomplish this fourth task of adulthood is to take one day each month and set it aside as a dress rehearsal for death. By that I mean is to live one whole day each month exactly the way you would want to live that day if you knew for certain that it was the last day of your life, that you would die before midnight tonight. What would you want to do? What changes would you want to make? What letters might you want to write? What phone calls might you want to make? What would you want to do as far as the final disposal of your life on earth if this were the last day of your life? This is what it means by a dress rehearsal for death. If we could do this for one day each month, we would be ready whenever our time comes. We would be so used to preparing ourselves that it would no longer be a real crisis, but it would simply be carrying out something that we have prepared ourselves to do all of our life. Life after death is still very much a mystery. But as the Mass liturgy for the dead states, for those who believe, life is not ended, but merely changed. The same God whose love and loving care we have experienced so often throughout our years here on earth will be waiting at the door of death to lead us across the threshold into the everlasting dwelling place of heaven. This is the end of the conference.